It means there's a promise of something there, but whenever you dig into it, the more you dig, the more you'll find nothing. It's an emptiness. And there's empty doctrines out there. And you can get trapped in it. And that's what was happening to the Christians in the church that Peter was writing to. And so he's going to help them not to have that problem. And he's going to also help us to not have that problem too. And so let's see if we can make some application. The topic, being trapped by empty doctrines, I'm sorry. And we're going to talk about how Christians have the tendency to do that today. So let's read our text starting in verse 17, and then we'll have prayer together. 17, chapter 2, verse 17. These are wells without what? Water. So you walk up to a well, you expect because it's a well, it's going to have water. But it's empty. There's no water. And that's what the wrong doctrines that are out there in the world, they're wells. And they look like they're going to quench thirst. But the more you look into it, the more you're finding it's empty, it's empty, it's empty. That's what he's saying. Verse 17 again. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest. Again, the same concept. To whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lusts of the flesh. Through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. We'll explain that when we get to it. Verse 19. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. Let's pray. Father, we pray for your help. I pray for your help to preach this with authority and with clarity. I pray for your people that you'd speak to their hearts. Help me to be a good pastor. I pray, God, for your blessings. And God, we thank you for your goodness today. You've been so good to us. You're always good. Help us to worship you today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, Christians get trapped in empty doctrine. That's true. You don't have to look very far to see it. I'm talking about people who are saved, who get drawn away into things that in the end are empty and distract them away from what's real. Brother Chad alluded to this morning in Sunday school, the gospel. And there are churches out there that remove all doctrine except the gospel. But the problem with that is that when you don't have doctrine, you don't have a pure gospel. You have an emptiness that's there, and you can't. It's like trying to work a machine without some of the most important parts to that machine. You know, we love popcorn, but if you don't have all of the mechanics that go to a popcorn maker, if you know that's what you're using to make popcorn, then you have no popcorn. You just have the hard kernels. And doctrine is empty when you don't have all, or rather, the gospel is meaningless until you have pure doctrine that goes along with it. And Christians are getting pulled away over and over, and it burdens my heart to see Christians that are getting pulled away by wrong doctrine. It's happening to my friends. I have guys I went to college with who know the Bible, and when we were in college, they would sit in classes, and they would hear the preaching, and they would say amen to solid, sound doctrine. But then they get out there, and they start reading books. Not the book. You won't get messed up if you read this book. They read other books by other guys who make them confused about doctrine, and they get going down a wrong path. And now I can't fellowship with them anymore because we don't believe the same. How does that happen? It is happening. My ordination service where I had a panel of pastors come together, and they ordained me, I guess, in a sense, where the church is who ordains a pastor. The church is who gives authority to a pastor to be a pastor. But you might have a panel of pastors who come together and help a church see that a pastor, before they, as a church, ordain the pastor, If we have a young man, Brother Chad, or one of these boys, we raise up and train them, and they say, God wants me to be a pastor. Well, we're going to be responsible to ordain these young men. We, as a church, we ordain them. They can't go out and pastor until we as a church send them. You see, Brother Chad couldn't just go out here down the road and not have biblical authority and just start a church in his living room. The church gives authority for him to do that. But how do you know you got a pastor who's right? He has a right doctrine. We'll have a panel of pastors who we know are right, and they've stood the test of time preaching true doctrine. We'll have them come in. And I had a panel of guys that my pastor said, hey, who do you want to come in and be your panel of pastors? And I gave a list of my guys, and he contacted them, and all of them except for one were able to come. And they sat on my council, and they grilled me. I gave them my doctrinal statements. They read it, and then they grilled me. They asked me what I believed. And they asked me some tough questions. And they expected biblical answers. I mean, these are my friends, but we're not messing around when we're talking about preaching and pastoring a church. And they grilled me. And they, with confidence, stood up in front of the congregation at the church where I was ordained. And these pastors, in total unity, gave their approval on the ordination of me to be a pastor. I guess I passed the test. I've told you that to say this. While my pastor was standing at the pulpit, before I spoke and gave my words, he said this to me. After the church ordained, before they prayed for me, he said, if you ever change, and he's speaking directly at me, in front of the church, he said, if you ever change what you believe, if you ever step away from the doctrine that we discussed in the back room and decide to believe something other than what the scriptures teach, then I would only ask you to do one thing, he said. Give me your ordination certificate back. It has his name on it. He says, if you'd give that back. And I said I would. But I have no intent on changing what I believe. But apparently there are a lot who do. People who are raised in good Bible preaching churches get away from it. And Paul's burdened about it. Peter is burdened about it. And that's what all of chapter 2 is all about. It's about how Christians get under the wrong doctrine and they get drawn away into wrong teachings. Allured. He used the word allured, didn't he? In verse number 18. They were allured. Drawn away. That word allure is bait. The word means bait. You can look it up. Like you throw bait in the water to lure the fish. And whenever you get it, you sink that hook in and you pull them out. That's what the word allure means. It means bait. A lot of Christians are biting on the bait. I like what Brother Davidson said. Brother Davidson's was the pastor of Southwest Baptist Church in Oklahoma City. Was there for 20 years. Was instrumental in starting the college where Brother Chad and I graduated. Heartland Baptist Bible College in Oklahoma City. And he said this, speaking of people who get off on wrong doctrine. He said, no one will ever become a Calvinist, which is specifically what he was talking about, wrong doctrine, when you read this book. No one ever became a Calvinist studying the Bible. You always get off on doctrine by looking at other sources and resources, you see? So we want to stay on track. And there are two things you're going to need to stay on track. One, you're going to need to stay humble. We talked about it some this morning in our message. You need to stay humble. What's that mean? Teachable. When you think you have all the answers, you've got it figured out, and you won't listen to your pastor or anybody, you're in trouble. So stay humble. It doesn't mean everybody who might give you an answer it always is adequate. It might need some more explanation, but always receive. Always be willing to receive counsel and instruction. Humble. Also be submissive. That's the second thing. Humble and submissive. Submissive means obedient to what you hear. Whether you like it or not, if it's the word of God and it's being taught accurately, then we submit ourselves to the teaching of God's word. You say, well, it doesn't line up with something I feel. It doesn't line up with something maybe I was taught. Is it what the scripture says? Be humble and submit yourself to it. And you'll find God's blessing through the Spirit working in you and through you to bless your life and the people around you. It's pretty powerful. The Christians here would have struggled. And that's why Peter wrote this. They were being told that what they were hearing was fairy tales. Have you ever had somebody who didn't like the Bible or church or God say, well, you're just believing fairy tales? Have you ever heard somebody say something like that? That's not new. Look at chapter 1, verse, you're in 2 Peter, look at chapter 1, verse 19. And we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day star dawn and the day, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And so, verse 16, thank you, Brother Chad, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables. There it is. I didn't go far enough back. And so they were being told that what they were following was fables or fairy tales. And then the scripture we read, no, we have a sure word of prophecy. The word of God, the holy word of God is a sure word, and you can have confidence in it and believe it, so much so that if you humble yourself and submit yourself, you'll find God's blessing, not only of confidence, but his blessings on your life through you and in you. The first century Christians would have been accused of just telling stories, and Peter wanted them to remember not only basic doctrine, but to have confidence. He says, we have a more sure word of prophecy. And the implication there is he wants them to have confidence that what they believe is true. And it also implies this, and this is where it applies to you and me. We're vulnerable. We're vulnerable. We can be allured. We can be tempted and tested. We can believe things. You say, well, never me. I'll never be tempted to believe something that's not true. You're deceived. Because we can all be allured to believe something that isn't true. And what sorts it out always is the word of God. It's a sure word of prophecy. And so humble yourself. Be submissive. Be submissive. False teachers blindly pursue happiness. And that's what's so frustrating, is because there's a level of happiness there. There's satisfaction, or at least the allurement of satisfaction. There's a promise of satisfaction. If you follow this doctrine, you're going to get the answers you're looking for. But as they continue down that path, I mean, they're going down a path, as we studied before in chapter 2, and they're messing with things they don't themselves understand. And they're going to get messed up, and they're going to mess up other Christians. Now, as we said a minute ago, it looks like satisfying water, but there's nothing there. Verse 17, wells without water. Look at the next phrase. Clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever. So a well without water, it boasts of satisfying, but it's empty. A cloud that is carried with the tempest, what is that? Well, it boasts of giving water in the time of harvest. Whenever you think, not just harvest, but that prepares for the harvest. I suppose this year there was almost a complete crop failure in Falls City area because of lack of rain. Remember early this year, it was so hot in May and June that there was crop failure. But here's the thing about Bible times. They don't have government subsidy to lean back on. Crop failure, they're not like, oh, no big deal. Crop failure means they don't eat. Like, they die. It's not good if it doesn't rain. Can you imagine it's dry and it hasn't rained and you've planted the crops and you need this thing to grow. You need the rain. And here the storm comes and you look at the storm and you almost raise your hand and say, glory to God, praise the Lord. But then the storm clouds come and they go and it never rained. It promised you rain, but then it didn't. That's what he's talking about. There's a promise of satisfaction, but whenever it comes, it doesn't satisfy. And that's what false doctrine is. There's a promise there. And so we dig a little deeper into it. And we go a little bit more into it. And we are looking for satisfaction. And we're thinking that if we just go a little bit further, we're going to find what we're looking for. And he says, it's not there. It's a well without water. It's a rain cloud with no rain. The midst of darkness, he calls it. It's the mist of darkness. It meant they're stuck there. It means that they're never going to satisfy these false teachings, these false doctrines. There's an emptiness there. And so let me say something to you. There's a mist of darkness that'll cloud your life when you're not humble and you're not submissive to the Word of God. There's a cloud of darkness that'll fog your life, a mist that'll be in your life, a mist of emptiness. And you'll go through life and you'll even be, like we said this morning, in church, but still empty. Because there's a mist of darkness that follows somebody who has gotten away from being humble and submissive to the Holy Word of God. A promise that gives no satisfaction. How frustrating is that? A promise that gives no satisfaction. Apparently, it would have been satisfying, or at least looked satisfying, for these Christians to leave what they'd been taught. Peter says, you've been taught the truth. And now they're leaving the truth to follow some false teaching. And apparently there was a promise of satisfaction there. And Peter is saying, he's warning them, you can chase this cloud of rain. You can chase this well, but you're only going to find emptiness. He wants them to understand that what they're looking for cannot give them what they're wanting. It's empty. It's an empty life. It's an empty life. Because they make promises they cannot satisfy. Verse 18, and when they speak great swelling words of vanity, isn't that poetic? They speak great swelling words. Swelling means puffed up and grand words. And they're making these amazing, awesome promises if you'll just come with them. But it's vanity, which means empty. They allure, it says that word allure. I already told you it means bait, through the lusts of the flesh. And they tell you, specifically here, what we're talking about is these great swelling words. Lusts of the flesh would have been apparently saying that they could lose restraints of certain sins of lust. And you can satisfy yourselves in sin and it's not going to affect your spirituality. It's not going to affect your life. And so they're luring them through lust, telling them that they can live immoral like a lax pagan society, these Christians, and they wouldn't find any consequence, but they would find satisfaction there. That's like if I got up here and I say, hey, listen, church, you just you go ahead and go to the bars and drink, and you go ahead and you listen to that rock music, and you go ahead and just enjoy, because all things were given to us from God to freely enjoy. And I just sort of preach a message like that. And you just go out there and live it up. As long as you give your money to church and you be faithful to church, then you're going to be just fine. Because those things, if you get out there and you drink it up and you just party it up and do all that stuff, those things will make you satisfied and happy. And we left the message at that. You would think, oh, all right. I mean, here's what you'd find. You'd get out there and it would never satisfy you. It would be a well that looks fun. Obviously, it looks fun because the world is engaged in this thing and living in it. And put it on TV and makes it look amazing. But you go ahead and go. Go ahead and live that life. Here's what Peter is saying. This false doctrine that are telling you how amazing all these things are, it's a well that's empty. It's vanity. And their words are puffed up, but they're vain. And that's what you'll find. But guess who's getting allured to go away? Also, kind of dovetailing with what we said this morning, it's the people who aren't discipled. Did you see in verse number 18 that it says, with much wantonness? Do you know what that word wantonness means? There is a hunger. It means that they're lacking. When you're wanting, it means you're not complete. It means you still have needs. Well, what are these Christians needing? Shh, you too. Shh. What are these Christians needing? They're needing to be discipled. That's what it means. There's much wantonness. And so what does that mean for you, church? It means until you're discipled, I mean discipled, and you're solid, rock solid, then you're more vulnerable. You're more vulnerable to be allured down a wrong path. Discipleship is what makes us strong. Becoming strong is absolutely necessary for us to not be allured into wrong doctrine. The stronger you are in the Word of God, the more confidence you have, the more humble and submissive you are to the Word of God, the stronger you will be and the less vulnerable you will be to be allured into the false teachings. That's what he's saying. Look at verse number 18. He says, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. And so you were clean escaped. You were clean escaped from those that teach error because you got saved. You were cleaned through Christ. You were made holy through Christ. You were given all of the equipment you need to mature and grow in Christ. But you, without discipleship, you are still wanting. And that's who is the target for the devil. That's who's the target for false teachers. The false teacher isn't going to seek out the pastor of the church necessarily. Although many pastors do get trapped in wrong doctrine because they make themselves vulnerable by not having confidence in the Word of God. But those who haven't been discipled are tremendously vulnerable. That's what he's saying. To be deceived into pagan ways. Look at verse 19. While they promised them liberty. Now this is an empty promise. It's like if I said, Brother Chad, next week I'm going to give you $1 million. He'd be like, all right. He's in trouble though. I don't have $1 million. Somebody give me $1 million. And then I probably wouldn't give it to you then though. I don't know. See, that's why God won't give me $1 million, because I'm selfish. But they're making promises here they can't satisfy. Verse 19, it says, who promised them liberty? What do you mean promising liberty? Liberty means freedom. They're promising freedom, but they themselves are servants of corruption. They're saying, come and look how much fun this is. Look how much fun it is to live out here in the world in the lust of the flesh and how amazing it is. Come and do this with us. This is real freedom. And Peter says, they are asking you to come and live in freedom who themselves are trapped in sin, in bondage. The last word of verse 19. For whom a man is overcome of the same, he is brought in bondage. Now that is a proverb. For of whom a man is overcome, the guy who's tempting you, come with me into this life. There's liberty and freedom and joy here, and you're allured, you're tempted to go. He is in bondage, and so the one who's in bondage is asking you to come to freedom, but really it's a trap. Did you hear that? It's a trap. And guess what Christians are becoming? Trapped. Because they can't let it go. They got to get answers and they got to be satisfied. And they promise me the answers and satisfaction that I desire. Christians are getting trapped in wrong doctrine because they can't be humble and submissive to the Word of God. That's all we need is the Word of God. A pastor who teaches the Word of God. Does this sound familiar? Don't turn there, but if you're taking notes, write this verse. Proverbs 1:17 and 18. Brother Chad showed me this maybe even a year ago. I don't remember when we talked about it. It's been a long time. Maybe a couple years ago. Proverbs 1:17 and 18. This is so good. So good. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. Have you ever read that in Proverbs 1 and wondered? What does that mean? So a bird is flying, and a net is spread in the sight of the bird. That means I can see this net in front of me. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of the bird, because the bird will see the net, and what will he do? He will not go that way. There's a net there. I think I'm going to go this way. And birds are pretty smart. But you know, birds are smarter than we are. Because the next verse in Proverbs 1:17, verse 18 says this, and they, these false teachers, they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily to capture, to snare, the net to snare for who? Their own lives. What's that mean? Here's what it means. It means they set the trap up and then they jumped in it. That's what it means. It means they set the trap up, they know it's bad for them, but then they do it anyway. And that's what we do. And that's what the Christians were tempted to do. There was a young man that was in Alaska. No, he was living in Alaska for 4 years, and I met him in South Dakota at Sioux City Baptist Church. Brother Quentin Vaughn, who's a good friend of mine, pastors there. He had us come up and preach, and oh, it was a good time. And he had us over for supper, and one of the young men of his church, who was in his early 20s, was there. He had just moved there from Alaska. And don't you know, I had some questions for him about Alaska. And I love just to talk with people anyway to get to know them. But he started telling me stories. He said, tell me about Alaska, you know. And why were you in Alaska for 4 years? His dad was in the military and would have been stationed in Alaska for a time. And his dad would go on excursions. And while on these excursions, it was a requirement that they had a professional guide that would take them on these excursions. Why? A professional guide in the hiking in the snow, because it's extremely dangerous. From what? Polar bears. I don't know if you know this, but he was telling me, this is all, you got to know, I'm on the edge of my seat at this point. Now, polar bears hunt humans. They hunt them. And so you have to have a professional guide, and they're hiking, it's a complete whiteout. And they're hiking up on a trail, or rather on a trail they're hiking, and by a lake that's frozen over. And while they're hiking, the professional guide took the group, or rather told the group to stop. He said, stop and don't move. And they're all just standing there. And they don't know why. They just stood there for a long time without moving. And the professional guide shot his gun up in the air. He said, and he still says, don't move. You're just like wondering. And he shot his gun in the air again after a time. And about 15 feet away, less than how far Brother Dave is to me, a polar bear stood up 10 feet tall and ran away. They hadn't seen it coming because it was lurking. It was crawling on its stomach with its paw over its black eyes so you couldn't see it. It was hunting them. Lurking privily to get them. I don't know. Maybe it's the man in me. I kind of am interested in doing this. But then at the same time, not interested. I guess that what I'm trying to encourage you about this afternoon is that there are false doctrines out there that are lurking to ensnare you. To devour you. And you have to have a guide. You have to have help. Or you cannot see. You say, oh, I can do this. No, listen. We're all vulnerable. There's nobody who's not vulnerable to get ensnared in the wrong doctrine. And we need guides. You say, Pastor, do you need a guide? Yes. I have a panel of guides that I stay in touch with them, and I ask them questions because I don't want to do foolish. But listen, we have each other. And guys, I'm not going to do anything without talking to you. And guys, we're not going to do anything as a church before we go to the whole church. And there's safety in that kind of counsel too. But we need each other. But we need a guide to help us to see. And for you to receive the guidance and to remain in the safety so that you won't be ensnared into the wrong things and devoured, is you have to be humble to receive counsel and submissive to the word of God. It's not just some man who thinks he is going to be your boss and keep you under his thumb. That's not what Peter is saying here. He had said in the first chapter, we have a more sure word of prophecy, and that's enough. The word of God is the answer. And when you have a pastor who will answer you from the word of God, and he will rightly divide the word of truth, and he'll tell you what the Bible says and answer your questions, and we'll look at it right in the Bible. That's where the strength is, because our authority is in the Bible. And he'll keep us right whenever we stay true to the word. Let me give you a quote. I found this this article from slate.com, and here's what it says, or the title of the article is, How the Southern Baptist Convention Has Tried to Keep Its Members from Becoming Mormons. That's the title of the article. It's pretty long, but it's pretty explanatory what the article's about. And I just want to give you a quote. In the early 1980s, which this is an old quote, but the Southern Baptist Convention leaders discovered that, much to their horror, that 40% of Mormonism's 217,000 converts in 1980 came from Baptist backgrounds. Is that interesting or what? Why does that happen? Well, either these people haven't been discipled from the Word of God, they weren't humble to receive guidance, or they weren't submissive to what they heard. Humble to receive it and submissive to it whenever they learned. It's one of those reasons. And that's what will keep us on the right path. Being humble and submissive, not to some man, to the Bible, and to a pastor who will teach you the Bible, or a man of God who will teach us the Bible. That's what we need. It'll keep us from being deceived and going down a wrong road. Is there answers to all questions that we might have about the Bible? No. There's just some things that we don't have answers to. And so we have to trust that God knows the answers to those, and when we get to heaven, we can ask God, and he'll probably tell us. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your grace, and we pray for your help as we seek to stay on the right path as a church, that we won't be deceived into wrong teaching and wrong doctrine, that the Word of God is what sorts it all out. Help us to be humble. Help us to be submissive, Lord, as a church. And God, we pray for your protection. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Let's stand together. If God's worked in your heart, let's do business with God. I encourage you to come to the altar and humble yourself if needed. And remember, God blesses the humble. He resists the proud. Let's submit ourselves to God's word.